Here are four lines from George Crabbe's Reflections. When we are taught in whom to trust and how to spare, to spend, to give, our prudence kind, our pity just, 'tis then we rightly learn to live. We do have to learn how to live, don't we? Many people have learned that one of the first rules is to practice the belief that life can be beautiful. Life can be beautiful. An inspiring message of faith, drawn from life, written for you by Carl Bixby and Don Becker, and brought to you each weekday by Ivory Soap, the soap that doctors advise. Time out for a baby, folks. Say, Sue, Susie, I gotta talk to you. Sweet Sue. Hiya, baby Sue. How's everything on the nursery front? Folks, I'm greeting little Susan Anderson, who's only 6 months old. She lives in Kansas City, Missouri, and her mother says she's wild about two things, her bottle and her cake of ivory soap. Hiya, Susie. Say, I understand you've got that ivory look. It's in the smoothness of your skin and the way it glows. Ah, isn't ivory mild and pure, baby Susie? Some complexion care. Susie, why should any lady bother with a colored, perfumed toilet soap when that can irritate her skin? But not ivory, Susie. Why, ivory treats the skin as gently as, well, as Mommy treats you, dear. Baby Sue, let's tell the ladies that more doctors advise ivory soap for beauty care than all other brands of soap together. Furthermore, one ivory cleansing's gonna leave their skin soft, smooth, and radiant as yours. Friends, why not change to regular, gentle care with baby's ivory soap? You'll like that ivory look. Won't they, little Susan? So long, honey. Remember our motto, ladies, make ivory soap your beauty care. Babies do. Why don't you? And now, life can be beautiful. David Solomon and Stephen Hamilton have had many differences of opinion, but never have they been so close to an open quarrel as now. Both may be partly right. Stephen believes Chi-Chi should accept without proof the statement of old Mr. Winkle, now known to us as Charles Conrad, that he is her father. Without telling her why, David has cautioned Chi-Chi to remember that the sick old gentleman's mind has seemed to wander at times, and told Stephen that his purpose was to keep Chi-Chi from building up high hopes of having a father and family, only to suffer more deeply if it should prove to be untrue. David intimated that Stephen's interest might be personal, and Stephen almost openly accused David of being willing to sacrifice Chi-Chi's happiness for the sake of his own. And there the matter stands, as they wait in the hospital just outside the door of old Mr. Conrad's room. Chi-Chi is inside. A nurse is there. Mr. Conrad lies motionless.
Is he... Nurse, is he all right?
I'm afraid he hasn't long to live.
Oh, the poor old man. Will he wake up first?
He may not. There isn't much we can do for him. Dr. Markham says it's a miracle that he lived long enough to get back.
Well, what's the matter with him?
He's had several varieties of jungle fever, and apparently he isn't young enough or strong enough to come back.
Now, where did he ever get a thing like jungle fever?
South America.
Oh.
Dr. Markham flew down there and brought him back.
Oh. Oh, I didn't know about that.
He seems to have been on some kind of an expedition.
Hmm. Well, then a lot of the things he used to tell me must have been true. He talked by the hour about South America and all kinds of adventures and things like that. He told me once he knew some fishes that lived on dry land and climbed trees. I never really believed him, but maybe it was true. Hey, why did Dr. Markham bring him back for? I mean, why was he the one?
I don't know. There's a man from Washington downstairs waiting to talk to him if he regains consciousness. I think he was brought back.
Oh. You mean he got in some kind of trouble and... Oh, gosh.
I don't know.
He used to tell me about things like that, too. He said he's always been in a lot of trouble. Oh, I don't mean anything bad, but he said he was in jail once down in Mexico a long time ago. He was in some political fracas and... Gosh, I wonder what he did this time.
I don't know, but Dr. Markham says he's very anxious to talk to you. And the doctor wants you to stay as long as you can because... Oh, Miss Conrad.
Hmm? Is he waking up?
He moved, and I think he's trying to open his eyes.
Oh.
You can try talking to him if you want to. Perhaps it will help. But don't excite him.
No, no. Hello. Hi there. This is Chi-Chi. Remember me, Chi-Chi, from down in the bookstore? I'm Chi-Chi Conrad.
I think he hears you.
I'm awful glad to see you again. I didn't know where you'd gone to when you went away, or I'd have written to you.
Wait. Wait, I'll give him some of his medicine. No, don't try to sit up. Just let me lift your head a little. That's right. One more. Now.
He sees me.
Don't let him get excited.
No. Can you see me? Do you remember me? I'm Chi-Chi Conrad from the bookstore. Remember the bookstore?
Chi-Chi. It's you, Chi-Chi.
He does remember me. Uh-huh, I'm Chi-Chi. I'm sorry you're not feeling very well, but you just lie still and do what they tell you, and pretty soon you'll be up and around so you can come down to the bookshop some more and read any of the books you want to and read your poems to me, too. Remember how you used to read poems to me?
Chi-Chi, I can't see you very well.
Oh, I guess that's because it's kind of dark in here. But it's me, all right.
Can you come closer? Closer so I can see you?
Sure. Now, don't you try to talk. You just lie there and rest and let me do the talking. I don't know what to say especially, but you know me. Sometimes I just rattle on like everything and never say very much. I mean, it amounts to anything. But maybe just lying there and hearing my voice will sort of let you know that you're back here where you got friends. And then when you get stronger and well again, you can do the talking.
Miss Conrad, I think I'll go and tell the man who's waiting that he's awake now and that he may be able to talk.
All right.
If you want anything, just press the button.
Okay. I don't think you've got to talk now, Mr. Winkle. You better save your strength so you can talk yourself out of whatever jam you're in. And I just want you to know that it doesn't make any difference what the trouble is or what they brought you back for. I don't believe you did anything wrong. Anyhow, not bad.
Oh, no. No, I haven't done anything bad. Anyway, not this time.
Oh, I know that.
But if I had, would you still like me? Would you still be my friend?
Sure. Papa David says that's what friends are for, to stand by when somebody's in trouble. Gosh, I know you awful well, and I know you wouldn't do anything really downright bad.
You were always very kind to me. When I didn't know anybody or have any friends, just like an old piece of driftwood.
Now, you just stop talking about being anything like an old piece of driftwood. You're not. You've gone places and done things, and that makes you glamorous. I bet you've had an awful exciting life, and I bet you've got more to show for what you've done than a lot of people have. I mean, inside of you. Things you remember and all like that.
You don't mind if I'm not rich or famous?
Oh, gosh, no. What's money? Just, you know, money. Isn't any good for anything except what you can buy with it. And there are some things you can't buy with it. That's what Papa David always said.
Your Papa David is like a father to you, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. He's the only one I ever had.
Would you like him any better if he were rich and famous?
There isn't anything in the world that could make me love him any more than I do. And it's the same way with you, Mr. Winkle. I mean, oh gosh, maybe if you'd been rich and famous, I would never have known you at all. And maybe you wouldn't be as nice as you are or as sweet. And say, you remember that poem you wrote just before you went away, the one about broken dreams, hmm?
Oh, yes, I remember.
Well, one reason I'm glad you came back is... Because I've always wanted to tell you, I think you were all wrong about that.
Oh, was I?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you said, I don't remember how you rhymed it, but what you said was that anything was better than breaking a dream. So I guess it all depends on what you dream, don't you? Now, if you dream about things like having a lot of money and all that stuff, it don't make much difference whether the dream is busted or not.
What kind of dreams do you have, Chi-Chi?
Me?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. Lots of them off and on. Sometimes I dream about being rich. You know, sort of daydream, but mostly that's when I see a pretty dress uptown somewhere that costs more than I can afford to pay for one. I get to thinking, would it be nice to have a lot of money so I could dress up like $1 million? But that's kind of silly with so many things in the world right now that are darn sight more important than dressing up. I dream about being, well, being in love someday. Love with some man who loves me and having a home, kids.
Well, that dream doesn't have to be broken, does it?
Well, of course, I can always dream it all over again.
You used to dream about having a father who was rich and famous and successful.
Oh, I still dream about that lots of times. Only how rich he is or how famous and all that don't make much difference. It'd be kind of nice just to know I had a father. I think I'd like him anyhow. That's what I really dream about mostly. Having a father who, well, who's just a nice guy. Dreaming that someday I'll find him or he'll find me.
Chi-Chi.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose your father were, well, suppose he were like me.
Like you?
Yes.
Oh, gosh, Mr. Winkle. I think any girl who could have you for a real father would be darn lucky. Because, well, because you're nice, sweet.
Chi-Chi, lean over and hold my hand.
Okay.
There's something I want to say to you.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but the man from Washington is very anxious to talk to you, Mr. Conrad.
Me?
No, not you. Mr. Conrad.
You mean Mr. Winkle, don't you?
No, Miss Conrad. I mean Mr. Conrad.
Chi-Chi turns away from the nurse and looks down at the old gentleman on the bed, who looks up at her with a mute appeal in his eyes. There's so much for them to say, and perhaps so little time in which to say it. A convoy ship in the North Atlantic is torpedoed. There's a deafening explosion. Oil spills into the ocean and bursts into red flame. Into that burning oil, men jump. It's their only chance for life. They're brave men. They deserve to live. But unless their burns are treated, that courageous jump is useless. And to heal those burns, doctors on the rescue ships need tannic acid ointment. Your used kitchen fat will supply it. Yes, used fat, so useless to you, will save men's lives. Burned fat, rancid fat, it all contains glycerin. And glycerin makes medicines, tannic acid ointments, antiseptics, and drugs, too. Every drop of used fat counts. Save it all. Skim the grease from soup. Melt down solid fats. Scrape meat drippings off dinner plates. The more used fat you save, the more medicines we can send overseas. Turn it into your butcher. For each pound of used fat, you'll get 2 red ration tokens. Chi-Chi was so full of words a few minutes ago, and now she stands there speechless. Is she on the verge of discovering once and for all that life can be beautiful? And now this is Hugh Conover speaking for Ivory Soap, the soap more doctors recommend than all other brands together. 99 and 44 100% pure. It floats.